Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of New Money with Spencer and Solo. I'm Solo Cisse, and today, hoops meets comedy, as we're going to have Austin Mills on the show today for a very wonderful conversation. So again, thank you guys for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy the show.
What's up? I'm Spencer Dinwiddie.
And I'm Solo Cisse.
And this is New Money, brought to you by CoinDesk. Today, we have a childhood friend who I grew up playing basketball with. Goes by Austin J. Mills. Yes. You know, but without further ado, I'll let him talk. By the way, net shorts, I like him. Sorry.
Oh, you like
just noticed that. But yeah, I'll let him introduce himself, really.
Yeah, Austin J. Mills. Work for the NBA now. I'm a social media influencer. Make a lot of basketball content. And now I'm a host for the NBA and involved in a lot of other things, but that is basically the gist.
Dope. So, you know, we've had a lot of content creators on this show. One of the things we like to ask is what their favorite platform is, why they use it, how they monetize it, the kind of differing opinions on other platforms.
So favorite now, I would probably say, is TikTok, because TikTok is the new wave. It's very early, but that is the best place to go viral or to get the most engagement. When it comes to money making, most people make the most money, I would say, on YouTube. Like, there are some very wealthy people out there from YouTube.
Crazy.
Actually, Austin McBroom, another guy we grew up with.
Which is crazy. Side note, then I'll let you keep talking.
Yeah.
It was probably 4 or 5 years ago, you know, before I'd even, like, really kind of climbed in the league or anything like that. And somebody was talking to me about, like, the Ace Family this, the Ace Family that. And I'm like, who the Ace Family? Why are they talking about, like, the Kennedys or
right.
something? You know
right.
what I mean? And they showed me the profile. I'm like, that's Austin. Like, you know him?
Yeah.
I grew up playing basketball.
What?
I guess. What do you mean?
Together, like,
we used to hoop together all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, you know? It's Ace Family, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that's Austin.
Yeah.
And this was before, like, obviously, in my mind, social media had such a powerful impact. So the fact that they were viral and making money and all that other stuff was like a foreign concept to me.
Right.
I was like, you know, I'm in the NBA. Why do I care about
right,
that? Like,
right.
You know, what are you talking about?
Right.
So, you know, sorry to go off on that tangent.
No,
but,
you're good. Which, by the way, he had a 3-point contest, and I won $100K, which he gave me $100,000 in cash for winning a 3-point contest.
That
craziest
is...
day of my life by far. $100,000 in a bag.
Hey.
So, shout out to Austin.
I heard you rolling. Yeah.
In school, keep shooting hoops.
Yeah, but when it comes to monetizing for myself, I would say Instagram is probably my best platform. That's where I make the most money. I basically built this audience from college, from when I went to Baylor and was making trick shot videos.
Yeah.
And grew this basketball audience. And what I realized was there's a lot more people out there on social that have more followers than me. They might have a bigger audience, but I realized the value in my brand is high quality, like a really high quality product. So I put a lot of money and time into my production and I see the value on the back end.
What does the upfront investment look like? You know, obviously we have a lot of different guests on the show. You know, some of them might have lower barriers to entry to do what it is they do.
Right.
You have an iPhone 12, you can take relatively high quality pictures, post selfies on the gram, you're making money. What you do, it seems like it takes a little bit more or a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, upfront investment and stuff like that. So could you talk about like what your setup and your stuff looks like to produce that?
So what I realized was there's a lot of very talented younger generation out there that is really good at production on the back end and kind of they haven't been found yet.
Oh, hungry.
And so I go after those kids, let's call them, and I work with them and
the kids know.
Yeah. Create the product with them, which is hours coming up with the idea and the actual product itself. And then I have to pay them for their time and what they're putting into it. But it's definitely mutually beneficial because I'm not paying them as much as they should be getting paid, but I'm also getting them massive exposure on Instagram. So, and actually now some of those kids that I use have jobs like with Will Smith doing
price
content.
Price just went
production.
Up. Oh, yeah. Price just went up.
Price
which
went way
some
up.
Of them now don't even have time for me anymore, which is messed up.
That's kind of messed up.
That is
dope. Hey, remember when I put you on, bro?
Like, that probably hurts the most when somebody you feel like, you know what I mean, you grew up with or you put on, then they stop answering your calls.
Right.
You're like, man, I'm Pops. Like,
right. Exactly. But I still work with a lot of them, and I do have my own production team, which I use for posting things or in the future, a lot more higher quality production stuff.
Got you. I mean, to Sol's point and to your point, like that is a departure from some of the people that we normally have on the show. I mean, talked about working with the NBA and other big brands, but what for you is like the next step?
Yeah, so I do some on-camera stuff with the NBA, but my ultimate goal is to be a TV host. I grew up on Ryan Seacrest, and Seacrest is like my idol. So Seacrest does, not only is he a TV host, but he's very successful in production as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this, but he produced the Kardashians as well. So a lot of people don't know that, and probably the longest running show ever, reality-wise, and he's the producer. So.
Nah, it's crazy. Everybody knows the Kardashians.
Right.
You know what I mean? To your point, to your credit, you kind of have a Ryan Seacrest look thing going on.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're about to like 65% of the way there with that hair.
Yeah, we just got to find
another. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment, but I'll take it.
I mean, shoot, if he produced the Kardashians, I mean, the bag that man got is...
Right.
It's different. So.
Exactly. But and another person who I like to compare myself to or what I want to be is Ellen DeGeneres. She's if I can be a host and produce content where I can impact people's lives in a good way, that is the ultimate goal. So people come on her show and she gives back to people in need. So that is the ultimate goal, is to make people's lives better on camera.
So you'd want to be like a talk show host, like ideally, or like is it varying or
talk show host is that like having my own daytime talk show, nighttime talk show is the dream.
So being that on-camera personality in a you know, full spectrum type of way. And I think it's dope as you talked about being of service to people. I mean, we had another guest, Matt James, and that was something that he talked about a lot. He had like farming and other ways to be of service to, you know, mankind, humankind. What ways are passionate for you?
I mean, that's definitely giving back to people is probably the biggest thing. My mom always said when I grew up, you never know who you're gonna impact. Yeah. And it's like the easiest, smallest thing. It can be a smile, it can be a hello, whatever it might be. And now with social media, we see it all the time. Like kids sliding, I'm sure they slide in your DMs all the time. Like, I'm obsessed with you, I'm in love with you. Yeah. Like, follow me back or
for
just
sure.
respond to this. And they freak out. So being able to have that impact and just responding to someone on social media, it's so easy to affect someone's life. You don't know what they're going through. But that sort of thing and being able to help give back to people. Obviously, you have amazing sponsors. Like, you guys have great sponsors. You're able to give back to those people because of things like that and having a platform.
Yeah. No, and to that point, actually, you mentioned in the DMs, something that's been happening lately for me with my ACL recovery, I've had a lot of, like, ACL patients contacting me in my DMs. And those are actually the ones that I've focused on responding to, outside of people I know,
crazy.
Of course,
but
focusing on responding to random people that I don't know was actually the ACL people and telling them like, hey, this is kind of how I approached my recovery. You know, yes, I was able to do it in 5.5 months. Like, what was your diagnosis? Like, these are the people I saw. This is the workout schedule that I had, you know, and trying to be a little bit of an inspiration to some of them and just saying like, you know, you can get back, you can return to a super high level. So, you know, that was something that I've had a little bit of focus on in terms of giving back in a small, non-monetary way.
Well, that's cool, too, because, like we said, we grew up together, and both of us are more on the confident side. You know, you've always been a very confident person. His work ethic, like, since we were kids...
Second to none.
Like, it's insane. Like, the workouts that we would go through with Olin are, like, most people wouldn't survive.
Dude's Iron Man.
It's
also
it's
his favorite comic, man.
It's actually crazy, but what you don't realize and what you don't really think about is that a lot of people out there don't have that confidence. They don't have that drive. Yeah. And so they might have an injury like yours and not be able to recover or be depressed. And for you to reach out to them changes their life.
Yeah, sure.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No, that was something I noticed for sure. And shout out Olin.
Yeah.
He's kind of like my uncle. He trained both of us. Yes, his workouts are basically death on a basketball court.
Right.
but we made it through. But yeah, no, like you said, the impact is special, and being able to give back is a huge thing.
I mean, I think it's just interesting because, like, the nowadays, right, like, when you think about creators and community building, that's such a bigger part of it. Like,
yeah.
I think now that we've hit what is somewhat a maturity phase of being an influencer or having that sort of creator platform, a lot more comes with it than it used to.
Definitely.
It used to be when you talk about TikTok being, like, your favorite thing to do right now, and, you know, back in the day it was Vine, and it wasn't really this, you know, community building aspect because
right.
people that had that sort of presence weren't, you know, available or have access.
Right.
But, like, that's what people are fiending for these days. You know, you used to think, when I remember growing up, like, you would talk about celebrities at the dinner table, but now you're talking about, like, everyday people.
Yeah.
And, like, you want to have those connections because that sort of relatability aspect is key. For you, like, how much of that goes into the content you produce and
yeah,
all that?
It used to be, to your point, it used to be one or two videos a week.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, fed the beast. That was enough to feed yeah. the beast and to keep people intrigued. Now it's like those lifestyle influencers you're talking about are the most powerful ones. Like
yes.
people, you're watching them, and that's why TikTok is so crazy, is because people are posting like four or five videos a day on TikTok,
yeah.
where it used to be like one or two a week. And now, I mean, I've had to even step up my game where I'm like, all right, I got to get on TikTok way more often because I know these people are waiting to see
yeah.
like my next move or my next video. So that is something I'm focusing more on more now. But that is definitely where it's going.
That two-way loyalty is
right.
super important, right? Like, you have loyal fans who you want to produce this content for, so, like, you on your side feel loyal to doing it. Does it ever get to be a lot?
It's
How do
a
you
lot,
manage that?
For sure. Managing it, I'm just used to it by now. Honestly, I've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
It's 5, 6, 7 years now. So it's kind of become second nature.
Yeah.
But you do need a break once yeah. in a while, for sure, getting yeah. away and off your phone.
That's definitely something that I've always wondered about in terms of being on the content generation on that side. Like, I look forward to when the cameras are off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but it seems like for y'all, even more so than us, they're never off. Because you guys
yeah,
are producing it. Whereas, yeah, when I step on the court and then obviously when I walk down the street or whatever, but I feel like I can kind of put the phone down and escape. But I feel like I still work out, so I still feel like I'm making money or being true to my craft. Like,
right.
I feel like if you guys put your phone down, you're going to always be like, man, I should be
yeah,
doing my
and
job.
Yeah, and it's always like people think like it's easy to be an influencer or to be in the social space. But
yeah.
what they don't realize, it's not just making videos and posting a video. It's texting,
yeah.
constantly texting other people to come on shows like this, to
yeah.
collab on other things and like
yeah.
match up your schedules. And also, people don't realize you actually have to watch TikTok,
oh,
Instagram.
For sure.
Like, you have to stay up with the trends. You have to know what's going on.
That is true.
Get
yeah.
ideas.
He talks
like,
about that. Yeah.
Some of my content, I have to like steal some other people's ideas.
Nah, we
know,
understand.
My own stuff.
We understand.
Like, it's just, you know, like, you might steal someone's
Hey,
move.
I steal a move.
Right.
I got James Harden between
right.
the legs. So.
Exactly. We don't deal with the heckling that you guys deal with. I don't think I could deal with that. The heckling is, that would drive me nuts.
I mean, trolling's bad, though. Trolling can be on social media. Some people,
you
know, like.
But you get trolling too. Like, you get both.
Yeah, oh, no.
I'm,
he was trolling.
I'm flaming him back though. I'm more.
I managed a couple of my friends that play in the league, their socials for a while, and I would like go through their unread messages to see for business opportunities and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, the messages that these dudes are getting, like,
it's wild sometimes.
Death threats
yeah.
and like things that
like, who are
not
you?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What makes you think, like, would you say that to someone if they were standing
no,
in front of you?
For no, for sure chance? Not. But I mean, I think that's probably the one downside about, like, bots and fake accounts and things
right.
like that. Like, it gives you such a false sense of security. Like,
right.
if I'm a egg on Twitter or whatever, like, I can say whatever I want.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
it's kind of a situation like that. And
keyboard
talk to this crazy.
Warriors.
Yeah,
yeah,
keyboard
exactly.
warriors. But,
keyboard warriors.
You know, like, how likely is it that you're going to walk up to somebody at 6'5", you know what I'm saying?
No, no chance, 0%.
Like,
you're
no
never
going
to talk to them like
no,
that if you
no
see
chance.
In the streets.
And the craziest thing is, you know what I've seen too, which is so funny, is they will come at you crazy in your DM, and then once you
respond,
write back to
oh,
them,
yeah.
they'll be like, oh man, biggest fan. I'm like,
sure.
what? You just trashed me.
It's
what is your
sure.
biggest fan? Like, oh, I didn't
crazy.
Think you were going to respond.
For sure.
Attention's fleeting.
Right.
That's like probably
sure.
the most important
right.
thing. So like, I mean, I guess, you know, to your point, like, you know, going back to like the production and all the work that goes into it, Can you talk about like the economics of what it is that you do? Like, how does it compare to, you know, somebody that's just in the influencer culture and like doing that? They're doing TikToks and stuff like that, but like lower barrier to entry type stuff, right? There's multiple types of ways to go about it.
And I'll make that a two-part question.
Okay.
Because we know you want your production company. We know you get into the bag.
Right.
Austin gave you $100,000. Since this is new money by CoinDesk, where do you invest your money?
So actually, funny enough, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the show, I did start getting way more into crypto when the whole COVID thing started happening.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, I invested in a couple startups and they did well, a lot better than I thought. And so I got way more into investing my money as opposed to just letting it sit. Thankfully, I was very blessed that I had a good year right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I kind of just had money sitting. And I think, you know, people talked about there was a lot of money spent during the pandemic and everyone was like, where is that coming from?
Yeah.
And it was either people had it saved up and weren't going on trips and blowing money on dumb things. Or in LA, we saw a lot of PPP and EDD money just being blown. And so because of those things, I wanted to get into things that weren't necessarily just cash or money, which was crypto. Yeah.
In your honest opinion, where do you think the biggest opportunities are in crypto?
Me not knowing enough about it, I'm always, even when I invest in startups, I like to take safe bets. So I like to risk, but I like to take safe risks. Mm-hmm. And so when I say that, I believe mainly in Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Gotcha.
I think those are just the two strongest
that
I know of, and that's probably the two most mainstream.
Yeah.
And I've seen the most use out of them. So whether it's on, you know, a brand or a company where I can buy something, if I can see Bitcoin and Ethereum where I can use it, then I know it's valid.
No, I mean, I obviously have been in the crypto space a lot and have like other coins and things that I target. But one of the things that we have on the show, and then also I think in the crypto space in general, and the premise of decentralization and trying to be more welcoming to a broad range of people, like you getting your feet wet and wanting to stay safe and being with Bitcoin and Ethereum is definitely welcome. So, you know, definitely nothing to be nervous about. Oh, another disclaimer. We are not financial advisors. We don't offer financial advice. Peace,
don't
love, and all those things. Do your own research. Don't sue Austin.
But yeah, please.
Interesting point on that, though. Like, because like from the creator perspective, obviously, you know a lot about the NBA. You're in the space and stuff like that. You know, NFTs, right? Like, you're thinking about the other things that crypto does. What were your experiences there? Like, if any, is it something that's completely new to you?
So the only NFT I got in was Top Shot.
Gotcha.
Obviously, being in the space, and the reason we talk about safe bets, the reason I got into that is because it was backed by the NBA.
Yeah.
Didn't know enough about NFTs, didn't know where it was going, didn't know the long-term play of NFTs. So that felt like the safest bet for me. Not sure if I'm really making money in that space, but I invested in a couple players, just people that I knew, and obviously tried to get my hands on the rarer moments. But as of right now, that is the only NFT that I've invested in, and not sure I'm planning on any others in the near future yet.
No, I mean, I think that obviously is a great place to start, and both of us having a mutual passion for the NBA, I'm definitely not here to push any other NFTs on you. I think it's a market that needs to mature because it has to be something that trades apples to apples, like what you started to see in the space, and I'm sure you heard of it. Obviously, glad you didn't invest in some of the, you know, more BS products where people were NFTing their water bottle. You know what I mean? And saying it's worth $1 million and, you know, and then there's a lot of buyer's remorse there and stuff like that. I think as it matures, though, that verified scarcity where it is kind of like a basketball card or something like that, it will have utility and some function down the line, but it is something that has to kind of grow a little bit.
Also for you as a creator, too, you know, on your side of things, like it's probably going to be an avenue at some point in time gets to your platform. How do you reward that one fan that's like a diehard fan of yours? You know, how do you record that guy? It could be with a rare moment, and it may not always have to be physical. You know, quite honestly, like part of the most, at least what excites me about it, not that anyone's buying a solo NFT at any point in time, but at least at the date of this show, but you know, kind of just those different aspects of it too. And so it's great that you say that because we've talked a lot about it on the show. And from your perspective, what made you get into it is because it came from an avenue that was familiar. Like the NBA is why you bought the NFT, not because it was an NFT, right?
Exactly.
And so like, I think what we're going to do is see a lot more of that in the future where you have people of all different types starting to get into the space just because of the fact that it's coming from something that's a lot more familiar.
I obviously think hype really helps it too, right? Whether it's Instagram or Twitter, there was a lot of hype on, and those are the people that I follow, so that's the audience that I see. But the hype on Top Shot and the opportunities, similar with Bitcoin or any crypto that was popular at the time, it's like, I want to get in, I want to I want to make that.
FOMO.
I had a friend that I went to high school with who was like, never went to class, just kind of like the daredevil of the school. And he invested in crypto in 2012. And so he got cashed out in like 2016, I want to say, and made millions of dollars. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I got in 2016, which was on the earlier side for,
yeah,
you know.
So stay in school, kids,
yeah,
maybe?
Exactly.
Like.
And I think that right there might be the way that we wrap this segment, because my boy Austin just made me feel bad. His guy got in 2012, made millions of dollars, had no need for school or high school, college, or the NBA. Save both his knees. And is somewhere on the island, probably. No, in all sincerity, though, thank you. I know this was last minute. You showed up.
Absolutely.
Probably our best or second best show yet.
Let's go.
So, my guy.
Let's go.
And again, this is Spencer Dinwiddie on New Money, brought to you by CoinDesk. I'm here with my co-founder, Solo Cisse, and my boy from childhood, Austin J. Mills. And this is us signing out. Thank you again.